And so we do record these. So if you do give input, please speak loudly so they can hear you. They want to hear your interaction and want to hear what you're saying. All right, everybody's at Proverbs 13:10. All right, and does anybody else need a book? Anybody else? Rebecca, your husband has your book.
Thank you.
He's taking care of you. Yes, ma'am?
Okay.
I was saying, okay. Now, let's see. Now, you guys are the Warrens' parents, so let's get your names again.
Chris.
Michelle. Michelle.
And I'm the Warrens' aunt.
Aunt, okay. So Chris and Michelle. Now, you are sister...
Sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law.
She's married to my brother.
Married to your brother, okay. So I knew there was a connection.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. All right, so let me get this down. Let me write this down here. So Chris... Chris and
Michelle.
That should be easy. I know about Michelle. And Aunt
Lottie.
L-O-T-T-Y. That's right. Because you have the difficult name to pronounce.
Leota.
Yes, I go. My real name is Leota, but I go by Lottie to make it easy to pronounce.
Now, does Leota, does that stand for something?
It's actually I was named after my great-great-grandmother.
Great-great-grandmother. Okay. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. All right. We're at Proverbs 13:10. Let's go ahead. We're going to say that verse together. That's the memory verse that we left off with last week. And dealing with communication as well, this is something that you want to get down in your mind and in your hearts in regards to communication. Proverbs 13:10. So let's go ahead and say the reference, and we'll quote the verse and then the reference. Here we go. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as a class, Lord, as we look at the communication, Lord, help us to become more effective in our communication. Lord, as we look at maximizing our marriages, Lord, we know even the greatest of couples struggle with this area called communication. And so I pray that you would minister in us and through us and to us. Help us to be a blessing one to another and encouragement one to another as you pour out your wisdom on us, God, and those of us that have experience. I pray that we will share it one with another, Lord, that we all may learn together about your word and your ways, Lord, and be more effective in what we do. Thank you so much for loving us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, so for those that don't know, this is Chris and Michelle Warren, the Jolene's parents, and then Lottie is here. Amen. So good to have them with us. And then we've got Matthew Lindquist along with Rebecca, and this is our missionary son, Brother Lindquist. So I guess you both are Brother Lindquist, so amen. So praise God for that. All right, we're going to pick up on page number, let me see, where did I mark at? The bottom of page 19. Bottom of page 19, I'm going to pick up with that. And we'll come back to Proverbs 13:10. Thus far, we're dealing with communicating with your mate, and there are, this is the third of some priorities that we need to have in communication. Chapter one of the first priorities was commitment. We've got to be committed to our marriages. And by the way, I threw this out there. A couple should never throw around or loosely use the word divorce. Never. Why? Commitment nullifies that. That should not even be in our vocabulary at all. Think about what that does to your children when you just mention the word divorce, especially when you look at their classmates and they start talking about divorce. That should never be in our vocabulary, because every problem can and should be worked out under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what our commitment is all about. And so talk about commitment number one, then honor number two. We've got to honor each other, knowing that we're different. God made it that way. I wouldn't want to be married to me. Now, maybe you might want to be married to you, but I wouldn't want to be married to me. And so God made us different. And so I've got to honor my spouse. She's different than I am. And that's a good thing. Amen. And then we thought the third thing here is communication. These are important tools in a relationship. And so in communication, we looked at several things here. On pages 15 and 16, talk about the differences in men and women. Men normally use less words to express themselves. ladies normally use more. Not always the case, but as a rule, that's, you know, pretty much what is standard here. The man normally works all day, and so when he comes home, he does not want to communicate, whereas the lady has not communicated except for on baby talk level, unless she's working outside the house. When she comes home, she wants to talk, he just wants to grunt. Amen? And so that's normally what happens. And we have problems there. And so now we have come over to page number 18. And they gave us some effective guidelines for communicating. They gave us those verses, Ephesians 4:15, 4:29, Proverbs 15:1, all dealing with ways to communicate and love, speaking the truth in love, then let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, and then a soft answer turneth away wrath. And those, so those were some things that you and I needed to keep in mind. Communication is one of the things where you've got to do a lot of listening. If you don't do a lot of listening, you're not going to be able to respond good. And so you got to listen. And do I listen with my ear, or do I listen with my head, or do I listen with my heart? All three. Gotta listen with all three. Gotta listen here. Gotta listen here. Then I gotta listen here to know exactly what he do. And do I read facial cues? Yes. Do I read body language?
Yes.
Yes. Now, if you're late coming home, men, and your wife is standing at the door like this, patting her foot, that is not a good sign.
No.
Just anxious for you to get
up. Either you did something, or either you didn't do something, or either the kids did something.
Yeah.
Or somebody did something if she's standing like this. Yeah, that's not a good thing. Men are normally quiet anyway, so if they're quiet, that doesn't mean a whole lot. Amen. So some things. So we got into these do's in here. Number one was do listen without interrupting or correcting. You know, I mentioned last week, sometimes I just want to tell my wife some things. I don't want her to correct me because I know I'm wrong anyway. But I just want her to hear. And I want to hear how wrong I am too. And so I just speak out, you know, and she's like, okay, I won't say a thing because you're not looking for correction. And if she does try to correct me, guess what? I'm not going to receive it. Why? Because I'm not looking for it. And so listen without interrupting or correcting. And then number two, look for the meaning behind your spouse's statement. Look, you know, these are the times when you got to read between the lines. And we talked about some things that you don't want to use. Always, you always do this, or you never do this. And those superlatives that we use. And you don't want to use those often because it kind of puts things in a box and there's no out. You know, if I say, my brother Shirk, you know, you always get on my nerves. Now, that's not a good thing to say because he doesn't always get on my nerves. He never gets on my nerves. But if you say that to your spouse, guess what? You always get on my nerves. Guess what she's going to think? You always get on my nerves. Or you never come home on time. Now, what's my first response? Defense. Yes, I do. I came home yesterday on time. Last week, I came home on time. 2 years ago, I came on time. We got married, I was on time. And so we go into all this defense of, you know, here, here, here. And guess what? The whole point of what we talked about is lost because now I'm defending myself. And so you got to be careful there. And that's what number two talks about. Do look for the meaning behind your spouse's statements. You know, try to understand your mate's true intentions and don't get so much hung up on what they say. But it said there in the middle portion there, it is wise not to use phrases like you always, you never, or you're just like. Those are not some good things to say because then people feel attacked, they feel blamed, and things of that nature. So watch out for that. And notice what it says there in above the third one there at the bottom. It says respect your spouse's right to different opinion. The paragraph right before that says, in fact, beginning a sentence with the word you, almost always put your mate on the defensive. It is better to begin with words like I feel like. For example, instead of saying you always want to be with your friends, you could say I feel like you would rather be with your friends. That would be a better way to say it. So we left off with that one. Number three says now do respect your spouse's right to a different opinion. Why is it right to respect our spouse's opinion, especially if it's different than mine? How many of y'all always think your opinion is right? Most of us always think our opinion is right. We wouldn't have it if we didn't. And so if I think my opinion is right, what do you think your spouse thinks?
Wrong.
And don't let the kids get in this. The kids just know they're right. I mean, hey, you know, this is what I see. You know, and of course, they're in a child's mind. So their opinion is going to be different from ours. You know, let them tell that dad always has money in his wallet. My son told me the other day, we went somewhere. He said, Daddy, just use that plastic card. I said, son, it's not that easy. He said, well, why? You always use it for this, that, the other. You can use it for this candy over here. I said, well, son, you know, that means that I've got to pay for that. He said, it does? Because he wanted to get a card too. He said, can I have a card like that? I said, no. I said, this means that I'm going to pay for this stuff that I'm getting. He said, really? Oh, that's a bummer. I don't want that. I said, I charge it now and I pay for it later. He's like, I just thought you just, you know, much money as you want. I said, oh, would that be the truth? I said, it happened that way. And, you know, so difference of opinions. You know, children see things from a different way, but also men and ladies see things differently as well. So you look at a different opinion. And so why would it not be wise to not accept my spouse's opinion? Why would it not be wise to accept their opinion? Why is it not wise to accept their opinion? You say, I don't value your opinion. I don't like your opinion. Should I really say that?
No. You're tearing the person down behind the opinion instead of the opinion itself.
I'm attacking that person as well. Now, by the way, what goes into an opinion?
All of you.
All of me. So all of my background, all of my childhood, all of who I was raised to be, all of that kind of goes into me. Now I'm 20, 30, 40, 50, however years old. Everything that I've been through now is going in my opinion. And that's why I have an opinion the way I do. We've got the standard joke around the house. It's really not a joke. Since my wife and I got married, I don't like popping gum. You know, if ladies pop gum to me, I just don't like it. Now, you can do it all you want to. But I'm not married to you and I don't live with you, so that's up to you. But I personally don't like it. My wife loves it. And we've got a problem. She loves it and I don't like it. And so now, guess what's got to happen? Her opinion differs from mine. What went into my opinion? When I was in grade school, in high school, I'd see these, I call them fast girls. They'd be like, around boys. And I said, I was repulsed by that type of a female. Ooh, ooh. And I married my wife, and she's popping gum. I'm like,
what did I do?
You're nothing like the girls that I know, but that reminds me of them when you do that. And she was nothing like those girls. Absolutely not. She was so far as the east is from the west. And I'm like, how can you pop gum and you're not like those girls? She's like, I just like it. I'm thinking, oh, we got a problem. I said, honey, you know, and when you're by yourself, pop your heart out. But around me, please refrain from popping. And then faith comes along. Faith chooses one. Guess what faith wants to do? I said, don't get started. Trying to spare your husband now. Don't even think about it. And you know what she had the audacity to say? Well, mommy does it. We're working on that. We're working on that. But what went into it? The girls that I saw growing up, now I formed an opinion about that. Now, can my wife tell me my opinion is no good? No. Because it's my opinion. It's mine. Can I tell her opinion is no good? No, I can tell her it's not going to make me any good. And she probably, sometimes she'll catch herself, she's popping over down driving. I hear 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm wondering if she's going to catch herself up. Honey. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was popping up. It's natural. I'm thinking. And the boys in the back looking in the rearview mirror, Dad, when are you going to say something? Hey, y'all stay out of this. It's your own wife. So respect, you do turn the person down. And you got to understand something. You know, when you respect your spouse's right to opinion, there is a balance that your spouse brings. Your spouse has a certain set of background experience, and you have a certain amount of background experience, and you bring that together, and that completes the relationship. And so I don't want to be so caustic against their opinion. Notice what it says here, having a different opinion does not mean one is right and the other is wrong. By the way, take this into account. Do we have 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by 4 different guys?
Right.
4 different backgrounds. Do they all say the same thing? No. They differ. Does that mean that one is wrong and one is right?
No.
John talks about a lot of miracles. Some of the others don't. Luke talks about a lot of the service. Some of the others don't. I mean, Mark, I mean, one is written as a king, and one is a servant, and one is the son of God, and one is the son of man. And so when you look at those, it's different aspects. And so because Mark left something out that John put in, does that make Mark wrong and John right? No, it's a different. They viewed things based upon what God gave them and what they saw, and they wrote it down, and they complement each other in areas, and other areas they don't, because you say, well, it's not over here, but it's over here. So when you look at the type of a view, there's four views. Matthew had a view of king, Mark had the view of a servant, Luke had the view of son of man, and John had the view of son of God. And so they viewed it from that perspective, and they wrote for different groups and audiences, and so they pinned down different things. And so if somebody picked it up and said, well, I beg different, I this is why. By the way, they said that early on, they didn't want to let the book of James in the Bible, because James seemed to contradict Paul and his grace. And James seems to talk about works. And James said, no, I'm just saying if you are saved, you should have works. But they didn't want to, they're like, well, yeah, James, you're a heretic. You're talking about work salvation. That is not true. So when you talk about your spouse's right to a different opinion, it's good to respect that and value that. You know, because it is that way. My wife, when she first married me, I mean, I was far from the rainbow. I had blacks, browns, blues, and grays in my color scheme. We first got married. Guess who decorated the house? Guess what I had? Blacks, browns, grays. I mean, you would have thought it was like wintertime or fall. You know, I didn't even have the orange in there. It was just, had all these pictures up with blacks and browns and that black fish tank, and all, everything was just black. You would have thought I was gothic or something. I just never had an appreciation for a lot of colors. I met my wife, and she thought, wow, hey, look at these colors. I'm like, ah. Now I let her decorate. Now we got colors everywhere. I don't got time for that. Black, brown, it matches, and then we're good. So sometimes your opinions are going to be alike. Sometimes your opinions are going to be different. Sometimes it's going to fill in the gap. Sometimes it's not. But each opinion has value and has merit. Notice what it says at the bottom. It just means you have a difference of opinion. So do respect your spouse's right to a different opinion. If I shut my spouse down, what will that do to me? Oftentimes, if I shut my wife's or husband's opinion down, what is that going to do to me? What will I not get, probably?
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction? What else?
Return love.
Return love? I might not get that balance that I need. That oneness? Why? I'm not getting what I should be getting from her. Or I'm not getting what I should be getting from him. And so I can't be complete, because we're supposed to complete each other. The lady has been brought to the man to complete him. God took a rib out of the man and made a woman and then gave himself right back to him. Mm-hmm. If you can figure that one out. Took a rib out, made a woman, and said, now, here, take yourself back. Mm-hmm. So if I don't get that opinion from her, guess what? I'm missing something. And it's going to help me to see something. My wife shares valuable opinions with me about the children. She's very perceptive in that way, and she can see things that I can't see. I'll look at the kids sometimes, and they're over there. She said, "Oh, they're going through this or they're going through that." And I'm looking at them like, "Really? How do you know?" She said, "Look at them." I am. I don't see what you see. I mean, she's looked, you know, past like, you know, Superman, X-ray vision eyes, you know, seeing into the hearts, you know, and sure enough, she'll go over and talk to them. Yeah, there's an issue.
It's a mom thing.
Amen. It's a mom thing. You know, got that right here. And men, we don't often have that. Now, sometimes we do. But if I shut out that opinion that she has, guess what? I'm not going to get that valuable information that I need, that when they're in that predicament next time, I can't pick that up because I shut it out. And so it's very good to make sure we respect them. So those three things they list there, listen without interrupting or correcting, do look for meaning behind your spouse's statement, and do respect your spouse's right to a different opinion. You might want to add anything to that one. Do respect your spouse's right to a different opinion. Add something to that, okay? All right, let's flip over to the next page. Because these are things that are going to help us in our communication. Oh, man, not the don'ts. Yes, Matt?
How do you handle when the opinions are so contrary, but it's necessary to figure it out because it deals with your next decision or how you're going to act in life.
Amen.
I mean, because the opinion on, you know, how to discipline one particular child's, and you have two completely, you know, dad, and they'll, you know, they must love him, and both are very real opinion. How do you handle that difference of opinion when it can come become an explosion,
amen,
thing? But it's very necessary to figure out.
Amen. And Matt brings up a good point. And when that happens, you always got to go back to what does God say? What does God say? You know, a parent may say, well, I don't believe in spanking my children because I was beat and I was abused as a child. And I still got to go back. God says the rod of correction. He still uses it. Now, it's how I use it. So I may be doing it wrong. I may be doing it in anger. I may not be doing it in love or whatever. But I've got to get back to what does God say, especially when they're so contrary. This one has been abused and beat up, and so they don't want to spank at all. This one got the abusive type of a spanking, so they want to do the same thing that was given to them. And I've got to look at it and see, okay, what does God say? What does God say? And now we've got to both come into this book and come out of our extremes and say, okay, what does God say? And what does God say? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction is to drive it far from him. Yes, that's what the Bible says, but now how do I use that rod of correction to drive that foolishness out? Again, when I'm dealing with, especially issues like that, I've got to see what is the heart of the matter and what does God say about that matter. And when I look and see what God says about, by the way, God does address everything, even if it's just in principle. And so I've got to get back to the Bible and say what it says, because there are going to be some opinions that are going to be so contrary, and something's got to be done. Children have to be disciplined. You know, if you just talk to them their whole life, that's probably not going to be a good thing, because God has said that the rod of correction. And so I've got to look at that. And so the Bible has got to be the thing that's going to stabilize us in what we do, and going to be the determining factor in saying, okay, you come from your extreme, you come from your extreme. By the way, popping gum. Does God say thou shalt not pop gum?
No.
No. So what principle can I apply to that if God doesn't say thou should not pop gum?
Be kind one to another.
Be kind one to another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And so I can apply principles to that and say, okay, let's work this out. Let's work together. I want to love you. You want to submit to me. The Bible doesn't say anything about popping gum, but you know what offends me? The Bible says strong things about offending someone. So now I'm going to curb these things. So although God doesn't say thou shalt not, he does give us principles to help guide us in certain areas like that. So keep those things in mind. And Matt, thank you for bringing that up, because there's going to come a time when you're going to have those differing opinions. You know? Now, yes, honey?
I'm going to say, even with those differing opinions, you know, we can all look at what the Bible says, but even the opinions with what God's word says, like in parenting, you know, how some parents view some things as evil, you know, one of the parents, and then the other, they just don't see the same way. Mm-hmm. And it can be a very tough thing, you know, because the wife is adamant, you know, I see it like this, this is evil, and God says, set no wicked thing before an eye, and the husband is on the other end, and he's like, what is so wicked about that? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think the most comforting thing is for the wife really getting a hold of God about it. If you feel so strong that, okay, this is my stand, Lord, and this is why, and you feel strong about it. And as a woman, we have to really take it to the Lord and mm-hmm. pray about it, because mm-hmm. the man gets to make the ultimate decision.
Amen. Amen. And two, with that, you look at it again. What goes into these things? Oftentimes, my background, my makeup. You know, that has gone into how I make a decision. You know, in our home, my wife sees no use for Tom and Jerry. Absolutely no use. The cartoon Tom and Jerry. You know, Tom and Jerry. Who people don't know. The cartoon, the cat and mouse game. Cartoons. I mean, a cat chasing a mouse, and she sees absolutely nothing productive in that at all. I see that as a form of release, where I just sit down and I laugh my little heart out. You know, I just say it's funny, and the kids, you know, my wife's looking. I see no humor in this whatsoever. A cat chasing a mouse. Okay. You know, this is unproductive. You know, and I'm looking at it like this is a relief. This is my, you know, sports time. This is, you know. This is my leisure here. This is funny. And so, you know, those things are those type of things where you got to look at, okay, one doesn't like it, the other doesn't. You know, she'll sit down and she wants to watch Little House on the Prairie, Sound of Music, and I'm thinking like that.
Take a nap.
Should be taking a nap.
Should be nabless.
You know, look at Little House. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm looking at Little House. I'm tired. but now she'll fall asleep on Tom and Jerry, but she won't fall asleep on Little House. I'll fall asleep on Little House. I won't fall asleep on Tom and Jerry. Your background, what goes into that? I was raised on Tom and Jerry, so it's a staple in my family. And she was raised with Little House. It was a staple in her home. And so now we're bringing that into the marriage, and that's what we do. So again, keep those things in mind. And I don't expect her to sit down and enjoy Tom and Jerry. I don't even ask her to watch it with me. I'm going to watch it by myself. You know, she'll invite me to watch Little House sometimes. And, you know, and sometimes it is good. I'm not going to say it's not good all the time.
I have fun when y'all watching it. I think you all are funny. I laugh at them. They're laughing at the cartoon, and I'm just thinking, I don't see it, but I think it's so funny that they're finding it funny, so I laugh at them.
Yeah, she laughs at us. I mean, they blow up and they turn black, and you know, she's like, I see no humor in that. I'm like, hey, but it's funny. But anyway, so those are some things here. Let's go to some don'ts here. Top of page 20. Don't. Now, in communication, these are some things you don't want to do when you're communicating. Number one, at the top of the list, don't lose your temper. Why is that at the top of the list?
Because most people lose their temper every time.
Most people lose their temper. Why do we tend to lose our temper in communicating?
We can't think clearly.
Can't think clearly as well, amen.
Damage.
Why do we know?
Damage.
Damage.
You're frustrated.
Frustrated.
We're selfish and only want to see our way.
Selfish and only want to see our way. Yes, Matt?
I think it's interesting how the Bible doesn't say that you can't be angry.
That's right.
But it does say, be angry. Okay, you're going to be. However, don't sin with it. Right. It's not, you know, it's what we do with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where we end up either curbing it or growing someone or completely damaging them.
Amen. Now think about our children. What normally upsets our children?
Everything that they don't want
to
do.
Everything they don't want to do. Basically, if I don't get my way.
Right.
Yeah, if a child doesn't get their way on whatever, time to go to bed, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, where we're going, what I'm going to watch, if they don't get their way, they're going to get angry. We are nothing more than big children. If I don't get my way, I'm going to get angry. Now, I'm not going to handle it like a child. I'm not going to... Now, some of you might.
What is the subject today?
Be nice.
As a rule, we shouldn't.
No, we don't want to get started on that one.
And then the kids say, well, how come dad got to do it? How come and I can't do it. Do what I say, don't do what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, just as I do.
So losing our temper is just like children. I mean, we don't get our way. We all want our way. We're all selfish. I mean, I want my way. I mean, it's just the fact of the matter. My wife, she chuckled at me the other day. I bought some preserves that I like. What is it? Red plum.
Red plum.
And I bought a whole brand new thing of red plum preserve. I love it. And the kids normally don't eat it. They eat their other stuff, you know. And I go, and they went to the table. They took out my red plum and they ate 3/4 of the jar in one setting. And I came out, I was livid. I said, I cannot believe you guys sat there at one sitting and ate up 3/4 of my red plum and you don't even like it. Oh, well, they do it sweet, so they do like it, amen. And then my wife just lost it. She said, hey, it's so unusual to see you like this. You normally give and share everything with the kids. I was like, well, not that. I hid it for a reason.
When they want something, they find it, no matter what.
If you hide it,
they're still going to find it.
I went out and bought it and hid it way in the back, and I saw it out there. I'm thinking,
You have something else, they're
going to
go right
next to the next level.
Yep. It's like, we're going to get to wherever it is.
And I was angry. You know why was I angry? I didn't get my way. They ate my stuff. And I put it out there for me, not for them. Selfish. My wife, she just laughs. She's like, you're never like this about stuff. You give the kids everything. I'm like, not that. Make sure the rest of my stuff is hidden in here. I pull this out. So again, losing our temper. Those one says, if your discussion becomes heated, back off and let things cool down. By the way, it may be difficult to stop when you're on the roll of anger, amen. But it will be more productive later. Always stop when either person begins to raise his or her voice, then come back and talk later. How many of y'all are fighters by nature? So if you're a fighter, the last thing you want to do is stop. I mean, I'm already in the heat of the moment. Let's go. Let's stop talking. No, come on. We're gonna finish
going
this.
And once I'm going, I'm not stopping. I'm out in the first 10 minutes.
We're gonna finish this right now. No, yep. We're not. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you can't argue with somebody that's not here, so bye. Don't you leave?
And unfortunately, both me and my husband are that way. And sometimes I have to be the bigger person, and I actually have to walk away.
So somebody's got to back away. Somebody's got to walk up. Now, I said, then come back later. This usually is the most difficult for men. Men, why is that most difficult for us?
Because problem solvers, right? And we solve problems.
And if it's not solved, then it just... this goes.
Hit the nail on the head. Men are natural born problem solvers. We want to get it, get her done, put it behind us, move on.
Yeah.
Ladies like, well, I'm not in the mood to talk about it right now.
Yep.
You've upset me, and until I get over the hurt, we cannot talk.
Exactly.
And the men like, get over it. Let's talk right now. No, I refuse. And you can't pull it out of them.
Nope.
And so you sit down like, how long is this going to go?
You ain't pulling it out.
All right, it's been 5 minutes. Can we talk about it now? The lady's like, no, got to be in the mood. Everything's got to be right, you know. And that can be difficult.
Uh-huh.
It really can. My wife and I, we first got married. I was raised to be a talker and a problem solver. And we got married, and my wife, she would keep things in. She wouldn't share. So when we first got married, I mean, she would keep things in. And I'm like, let's talk. No, I don't talk about it. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, I don't talk about it. No, I'm getting mad.
No.
Well, there's something bothering you. There's something bothering you. What are you talking about? No, I don't talk about it.
I don't talk about it.
Well, how are we going to deal with it? You don't talk about it. I don't talk about it. And I'm glad that only lasted a short amount of time, very short. And then she's like, oh, so he really wants to talk about this. I'm like, yes, I really want to talk about this. If I can talk about this, then we can put her back. And I can say, okay, job, mission complete. All right, let's go. Next thing. Amen. And that's how men normally are. So, be careful. Don't lose your temper. And if you do, you got to back away. I'll show you a classic example of that. Chapter 3 of Daniel. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He was one that lost his temper quite a lot.
The beautiful thing, though, when you do lose your temper, because we will, is to get it right. Hopefully you didn't cause any damage, but going and getting it right with the Lord first and then going back to the spouses and apologizing.
Amen. That's a good thing. Daniel chapter 3, and of course they were supposed to bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bow down. And pick it up in verse number 13. Brother Steve, you there? Daniel 3:13. Read that for me.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?
I keep on.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace.
Okay, stop there. Now I want you to notice several words here. Notice in verse number 13. What had happened here? They made this image to Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody's supposed to bow down, worship the image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to do it. Somebody came back and told the king, hey, you know, remember those guys, Shadrach, Meshach, the ones in chapter number one with Daniel, got promoted, those guys, they don't serve your gods. And everybody, oh, what are you? What's the meaning of this? Notice in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, what does it say? In his rage and fury, commanded. So there he's just, it's there. It's, okay. Certainly, if I talk to them, surely they'll do things right. He's just in his rage. Okay, I've got this, but you're going to pacify me, I know, and it's going to be okay. Notice what verse 19 says. Then was Nebuchadnezzar what? Full of fury. Now, wait a minute. Over in verse number 13, Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury. But now in chapter 3, verse 19, now he's full of fury. So over here, he's just in his rage. You know, I'm a little upset about this, you know, but I know if I talk to you guys, it'd be good. And so as he's talking to them about what they should do and who's going to deliver them, you can just see the temperature boiling up like a thermometer. And he's just waiting for them to say the right thing so it can go back down. And guess what? They didn't say the right thing. So you know what it did? And now he's full of fury. Not just in his rage, he's full of it. And you know when you get full of yourself, you know what normally happens? You explode. And that's what he does. He is making a bad decision here, so much so that he heats it seven times more than it should have been heated. He gets his mighty men to bind them, and they die throwing them into the fire. But nothing happens to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And just a good example of what happens to you and I when we lose our temper. And instead of just being angry and sinning not, we let that anger fill us, and we're full of anger, and then we act just like Nebuchadnezzar. We say things that we shouldn't have said. We say and do things that we shouldn't have done. We treat people the way we should have treated them, and that's a bad thing. So we don't want to do that. So when it comes to communicating and losing our temper, we don't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar. And if Nebuchadnezzar's known for anything, he was known for being a hothead. Hothead. He was. And so don't lose our temper on that. You know, men are problem solvers. But we don't want to get ourselves in a rage. Notice number two, it says, don't refuse to talk. In other words, don't do the silent treatment. Don't give someone the silent treatment. Be honest and express your feelings, your real feelings and opinions with kindness and love, respect for your mate. Now, problems. Why do we not want to express our real feelings oftentimes and our opinions?
Because you don't want to hurt the other person.
Hmm?
You don't want to hurt the other person.
Sometimes that is true. We don't want to hurt the other person. Why else do we sometimes not want to share our real feelings or our opinions with someone else?
Because they judge you.
We feel judged. If we don't want to hurt them, sometimes we feel like, okay, they're going to judge me by my real feelings. So I'm not going to give them my real feelings. I'm going to give them some false feelings or the feelings I think they want to hear. Because if I give them, okay, thanks, brother. If I give them my real feelings, they may not view me the same way anymore. They may, perish the thought, reject me if I tell them how I really feel. That's why chapter one is important, commitment. I'm committed. And that's why chapter two is important. I've got to honor my mate. And that's why chapter three can come back and say, okay, now communicate because I'm committed to this marriage. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to honor you. And so I'm going to tell you my real feelings. I expect you to honor me still, even though I don't think the way you think. And vice versa. Because oftentimes when we express our real feelings and opinions, the other one laughs at us or mocks us, then we automatically go into a shell. And we make a mental note, I'll not share that type of thing anymore. Mm-hmm. Now what does that mean? Communication is shut down in that area. Now if I say something else and I'm ridiculed or mocked or whatever, I make a mental note and I tuck that away. If I get so many of those, guess what? I'm going to start closing up my communication. And there's only certain things that I can communicate with you on. Now here's the danger. I still want to communicate, so I will communicate with someone else who is maybe not my spouse and who could be a potential danger to me. And that's the danger. If my spouse rejects my opinions, rejects what I say and put me down and I'm closed off, I still want to communicate with someone, so I will find someone. Maybe it's another lady, maybe it's another guy, maybe it's the opposite sex, maybe it's a grandma, maybe somebody, and that can be dangerous. So bear that in mind. When we refuse to talk, we are by nature communicators. I mean, God did not put us here and mute us. By nature, we're communicators. However, we're going to communicate. We're by nature communicators. So now I've got to be able to do that. So don't refuse to talk. It says, be honest and express your real feelings and opinions with kindness. Last one, we're going to stop. Don't play the blame game. It doesn't matter who is wrong or who's at fault. Try to fix the problem, not fix the blame. You don't want to put the blame on somebody. Well, whose fault was that? That's the name of the game in my house. Who left this down here? Not me. Well, somebody put this down here. Well, I think Joshua was in here last. It must have been him. Joshua, come here. No, Faith was in here after me. It must have been her. Well, G2 got it out. So it must have been him. Somebody needs to own up to this. They're fixing the blame. So make sure in our communication, whatever it is, don't try to blame the other person. Get to the root cause of what's going on in our communication. So when you look at these three things here, losing our temper, don't refuse to talk, don't play the blame game. Those are three things that can really help maximize our communication. And we'll look at three other things here next time we get together. At the bottom, dealing with some conflict resolutions there, compromise, concession, and can it. And those are some things that we'll discuss next time. But we got 2 minutes left. Want to add anything to any of those three? Losing your temper, refusing to talk, playing the blame game, damage it can cause, or something of that nature. Anybody want to share something on that? Yeah, Matt?
Something amazes me in the Bible. And that is when Abraham lied about Sarah, and when Isaac lied about his wife, God never confronted him about it or mentions it to him or talks to him about it. It says, you know what you did? None of it. It's not even there. Which got me thinking, he knows.
Amen.
We know he knows. In our marriages, there's times when we think if we don't deal with this, sometimes the wife feels there's a problem here with the kids. There's a problem in our marriage between you and I. We need to deal with this. Or often we're talking about, weaknesses of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fix this. Something needs to be fixed or else, there's going to be problems. Or you messed up or so forth. Whichever one. And we all do. That often the natural instinct is to try and fix it so that life will be better, or that this will, the wife always can see what the husband can become. Husband just wants to be accepted for who he is. And, if we fix this, and there's times where we really need to live our marriage in love, which means we don't ever bring it up because we took it to God and let him take care of it.
Amen.
And the love in refraining of dealing with that issue, sometimes there are issues in our lives where the person really messed up. They know. God knows. They know God knows. They know their spouse knows. And yet to bring that up, when you bring that up, all of a sudden it becomes a weapon instead of a way of saying, I love you, how can I help you? There are things, if we deal with forgiveness the way God did, I believe our marriages would be completely different.
Amen.
And some things, I believe, shouldn't be brought up that the other person did. I hope she doesn't bring up a lot that I did in our marriage. Because it does more damage than it does good. Sometimes you both know what's going on. You both know there's weaknesses. And yet, God loves us still the same.
Amen.
And if we do the same, if I don't approach this, if we don't face this head on, it won't be fixed. Well, the thing is some of those particular issues are God issues.
Amen.
We have to let them to God.
And they become heart issues as well. That's a good point. Keep in mind as well, the next chapter is forgiveness. But again, comes the commitment, then comes the honor, then comes the communication. Now I can forgive because I've got the other three already down. I'm committed to this marriage. I'm honoring my spouse. We can communicate. Now, she said something that hurt me, but I can forgive. And so the order is perfect. That is a good point, Matthew, that certain things only God can do. We make some decisions and things in our marriage that don't turn out the way we think they should, or just make some wrong decisions, and you know, maybe we ought not talk about it. You know, we both know, and you know, forgiveness is there, but now, you know, sometimes we do talk about it, sometimes we don't, but you know, when it is, we know we love each other. Memory verse for next time is gonna be Proverbs 19:20. Proverbs 19:20, let me read that for you. It says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So you wanna listen to each other because God's intent is that you both can be wise. Now, first of all, you know you gotta listen to God. But guess what, your husband or your wife may be speaking for God to you. And so I wanna hear the instruction. I wanna hear and receive it that I can be wise in my latter end. Because I think at the end of the day, most husbands only want what's good for their wives, and most wives only want what's good for their husbands, and most parents only want what's good for their children. Overall, I think that would be the gist. We say, I want the best for them. We may not always make the right decisions, but we want what's best. So we've got to be able to hear and receive the instructions, so we can be wise in what we do. So that's going to be our memory verse when we come back together, Proverbs 19:20. Guys, you can go ahead and keep that book. It'll be a blessing to you. Do know that he doesn't always use the right version of scripture that we use, brother. So there's a disclaimer in front of that cover, just so that you know when you get out there and use it. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for allowing the Lindquist to be here with us, Lord, and Lottie and Lawrence. God, I pray that you may continue to use our lives. We can be effective communicators, Lord, knowing we don't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar, being full of rage, Lord. We want to be angry and sin not. And God, help us to be appropriate in what we do, that you would get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And I meet in the next hour with us. Bless the refreshments next door in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. The refreshments are next door, so guys and gals, you can go ahead and get something. Can everybody get their candy? That had candy coming through? Oh, yeah.
She wants to share with you. Are we supposed to share? Does she get
one? No, she gets one.
I was like, okay. Believe it or not, I got this one for you.
She said he took it so fast.
Yeah,
but
hi, how are you? No, that's okay. We'll pass on that one.
That's it. Only with the finance come in. Only with the finance. Yeah, this is mine.